Can these dry bones live? Can these burnt stones rebuild the temple, as the Bible says? Yeah, I think they can. Can these halls be filled with laughter again, joy and hope? Can this home actually be filled with kids who will never, ever have to worry about being sold off into trafficking again? I know they can. Can these rooms be filled with pregnant mamas who didn't know what they were going to do or how they were going to do it, but now they have a hope and a future? You know what? That's exactly what King Jesus promises all of us. So how about we take on that promise? How about we take on that mantle? And we say, this is our responsibility. This is who we are called to be. This is what Jesus would have us to do. You know, we always say the prayer, let his will be done upon this earth, even as it is in the heavens. But this is where it's real. This is where you can see it every single day. This is actually where it matters. I know that this is God's dream. Is this your dream? It's my dream. I want to ask you to help me. Will you please consider helping me make this dream come true for untold numbers of young women who have no idea that we're coming to get them? There's so much hope and there's so much promise. And you know, I don't even know any of these girls yet, but I'm going to, and I'm going to know them for the rest of their life. This is where these kids become family.
Well, hello, fam. What you just saw was a very special video that we had made for this campaign to raise funds for our Branson, Missouri home that we are trying to get so that we can house up to, gosh, I think it's up to 75 people that this house contains. And that was just a little bit of Pastor Troy's heart around this whole campaign that we are doing. So if that tugged at your heartstrings, I hope it did. Go to troybrewer.com and get involved. So into what we are doing here. On that note, welcome to the Pulse, guys. I obviously am not Pastor Troy, but don't worry. We have two things. A brewer is in the house, in the room, which you'll see him in a second. We do have a brewer here, but we also have a Bible study for you today that Pastor Troy has recorded, especially for you. All about spirits. And we're going to dive into that in a second. As you know, spirits are real and we're going to talk about it. He's going to talk about the legalities of the spiritual realm, the authority King Jesus has given you to stand against the darkness. Plus, well, I'll just tell you right now, Ben Brewer is joining us. I know you guys are so excited. Yay! He's going to be joining us with some powerful updates on the projects that we have been building together to rescue kids around the world. And I don't know if a lot of you know this, but Ben has actually moved into a new role, which has taken him away from our Pulse studio a lot of times. But he has really been trailblazing, going to all of these places where we have the different missions. And he's helping to get this stuff done. He's kind of being like a copy and paste version of Pastor Troy, going to Mexico City, going to Belize, going to all the places. So he's going to give us an update today, and I cannot wait. So buckle up, guys. Here we go. As I said, I am Shay Wilbur. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of The Pulse. Why don't you take this opportunity, be a media missionary. First of all, like and share this, because I believe this word that Pastor Troy has for us today is so good, so necessary for the times that we are living in, especially with all the headlines that we see with the UFOs and all the stuff, the alien disclosures coming from the government, all of that stuff. We need to know how to navigate this. And his talk today on the spiritual realm is really going to equip you. And I believe someone in your life needs to hear this. So like and share this broadcast right now. Also, of course, let us know where you're watching from. We love to see our global family. We got people from Africa to Ireland to Venezuela. We got people all over the world tuning in. Switzerland, we see Switzerland on there a lot. And let us know where you are tuning in from. And why don't you guys say a special hello to the one and only Ben Brewer. Why don't you put a little cowboy hat or a cowboy something emoji just to greet Ben today. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about y'all?
How does it feel to I'm great, but how does it feel to, for you to be back in the studio?
It feels weird. Feels weird. I'm so used to traveling all the time. It feels weird to be home.
Back in the saddle. Yeah,
back in the saddle. Yes, ma'am.
I love it. And I'm sure all of our family online is so excited because, I mean, for years, it was you and Pastor Troy doing this shtick.
It was.
Do you miss it?
I do, actually. I do. Miss you guys.
Yes, we love it. We love it. And I'm so excited. I'm sure you guys are all sounding off right now. And just letting Ben know how much you have missed him.
However, it is highly amusing to me to listen to you talk about aliens. Could you imagine yourself 5 years ago talking about aliens?
Not at all. It's so funny. Not at all. And now, like, I just feel like I know so much about it about what's going on, because between Pastor Troy, between producing The Counter, mm-hmm. our TV show, between being friends with Alan DiDio, Joseph Z, all these guys, Darren Stott, all these guys, they talk about it all the time. So I'm like, oh, you want to have a conversation on that? I can hold my own now.
Oh yeah.
I'm still figuring out what I believe with all of it and figuring out, you know, where I land on it. But it's so interesting, and it's really been helpful, especially because, I mean, they've been talking about it. You guys have been talking about it for years, and now we're seeing it in the headlines, which is crazy.
Yep.
And you're not surprised by that.
No, I knew it was only a matter of time. I mean, just, it's going to come out eventually. It always does.
So. Yeah. Yeah, man, I love it. And so we're going to dive into some stuff, and I'm really excited for you to give us some updates on a bunch of the projects that we have. But first, let's just kind of recap. I know you had a busy weekend. Open Door Church had a busy weekend. Our house here, I mean, not only do we have the Pulse, and if you're tuning in for the first time, we have this podcast that's live every Tuesday and Wednesday. But guys, listen, this is a church that is alive. This is a global church family. And this weekend, we had a very special Rain Retreat, which is our women's ministry. And Rebecca, who's usually here joining me, she's not feeling well today. So prayers for Rebecca. She actually preached at it and shared a few words, but it was a whole weekend time, and it was so special. Pastor Pauline does such an incredible job heading up the Rain ministry. And man, I have only heard incredible testimonies from what God did, how he moved with our women. So if you ever have an opportunity to attend one of our Rain events, I just want to encourage you, do it. Get here, because God is moving in this church within all of the ministries, and Rain being one of them. Now, that happened, I think, on Friday night, and then Saturday. Then Saturday, I was speaking at an event, and then you were at basically the same event for an organization called Grit and Grace. And Fanchen Stinger, who is a part of our church here, that's Fanchen right there. Love her so much. She does so much different stuff in the media world, and has been in the news world, and she loves Jesus. She's a Jesus freak, but she has an organization called Grit and Grace that equips young ladies to operate in courage, with grit, and with grace. And it's like a mentorship program, a leadership academy is what they call it. That's Cora Keller. She was the middle school nominee, middle school award recipient, I should say, of an award that we had the honor of presenting her. So I went to a brunch. These pictures are from a brunch that morning where she's a part of their leadership school, and she started a Bible study in her own school, and they have really helped to give her confidence in life, and I love it. And there you are presenting a $10,000 check.
No big
Holy
deal.
Smoke, no big deal. Just holding it to, and that was at the PBR rodeo that evening. There was a whole awesome ceremony. Yeah.
Oh man, that was awesome.
Tell me about it.
So first off, if you don't know what PBR is, professional bull riding.
Yeah.
And the guys that were out there that night were just the
crazy.
Best of the best.
Yeah. I mean,
by far the best of the best
it's
in the
so
world.
So good.
And it's so much fun to watch. So I took my son Barrett with me first off. But it's so much fun to watch the crowd and how excited everyone gets, because most of the time, most people that go know what's going on, but you can always tell the new guys who don't know what's happening. They're just excited to be there.
Uh-huh.
Well, Barrett was one of those new guys, and it was so much fun
really?
Watching him. He literally lost his voice. He was screaming so much. He was having the time of his life.
Was he like, cause I remember the first time I went, I still have this reaction when I'm watching both like PBR. I feel like they're going to die. Like every time they get kicked off, and then you're like, get them away from them. Like, it's just that moment of when they hit the ground, what the bull's going to do. Are they going to, whatever. How did Barrett react to that? Was he freaking out, or was he just like,
at first he was like, is he going to be okay? Cause the first guy did get stomped pretty good.
Oh,
it was pretty bad, but I mean, he got up and walked it off. So he's obviously used to it. Not that it makes it any easier, cause that does hurt. But after that, for the first initial shock, he's like, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
This is so cool.
So it was a lot of fun to experience that with them. And then the Texas Border Patrol was actually there.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually the rodeo. They're not clowns there.
Not the clowns, but they were the ones who helped the
bullfighters. Yeah. They were the professional bullfighters, which was awesome. They did a great job. So it was all in all a great night.
Yeah. And then they called you up with the Grit and Grace group, and you presented the check as part of the whole like PBR event that night.
That's correct. And that was a huge honor. I was happy to do it.
It's so Cora special.
Was awesome. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to hear more about her Bible study and what God's doing with her.
So. Yeah. So she's there. So she's the recipient for the whole year. So she's going to be doing a bunch of different things, appearing on behalf of Grit and Grace And what's really been really cool about working with this organization, with Fanchon, is they really are equipping young women to be leaders in this generation and world changers. And so it's cool to hear after, you know, this next year, Cora's reign as the mm-hmm. as the nominee or as the recipient, we're going to get to hear really cool testimonies. And we all played a part in that. So that was really cool. So before we get to your updates, Ben, I just want to remind everyone that Wednesday night here at Open Door Church, which is tomorrow night, we have a very special speaker, our very own Pastor Doug Briggs. We love him. He's going to be bringing a word from the Lord. So if you are in the Burleson area, get over here. What are you doing? Get to Open Door Church this week, this Wednesday night, May 13th. And drum roll, guys, because this Sunday at Open Door Church, the one, the only, Pastor Troy Brewer and Pastor Leanna, they are back from their world travels. We are going to have them back in-house next Sunday. And not only that, but special guest speaker Ken Paxton, he's the Texas Attorney General, is going to actually be here. How legit? That is so cool.
That's awesome.
Wow. God is doing such amazing things in our state. And so that'll be really cool to have him. Of course, it's going to be so great to have Pastor Troy, to have your dad and mom back, and Pastor Leanna. Man, they have been having the best time, by the way, on their trip.
They've been having a great time.
Yes.
They've been constantly calling me and FaceTiming me like, are you jealous? I'm like, yeah, I actually am.
Yeah.
I'm very jealous.
I was jealous until I found out they were in the middle of a storm.
I
was like, nope, that's where I check out. I like being on a cruise ship in the middle of a storm is like a no-go for me. But he's like, oh, it was awesome. I'm like, no, see, I wouldn't have that reaction. And I know your mom probably was like, she's just like always, she loves turbulence on airplanes. So she probably was like, oh, this is fun.
Oh yeah, no, she is a wild child.
I was gonna say, she's like kind of an adrenaline junkie too in her own way.
She loves roller coasters. She loves being up high.
That's so funny.
All the things that I despise, she loves.
Well, listen, they're gonna be back. So do not miss this Sunday. It's gonna be incredible. It's gonna be a great time. They're gonna have updates, but we've got some really special updates today because we've got Ben here. So Ben, you have, like we said, you've been going on all these trips. You couldn't even keep it straight when I was like, okay, we're going to talk about Belize today.
Yeah, totally.
You were like, how many trips ago was that? Because I feel like every week you're in a different country.
I am. So that was actually 4 trips ago for me.
Oh, and that being said, it was probably also only like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, 4 trips ago. You're like, oh, was that last year? No, this was just like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So I'm in a different country almost every single week now.
Or your passport. Yeah. Do you have to get like a second insert for the pages?
I think I have like 2 pages left.
That's crazy. So tell me about what you did in Belize, because for all of you watching, when you sow into this ministry, not only are we doing stuff here on the ground in the States, but we have missions and rescues all over the world. Belize being one of the places that we do so many different things there. We've got mm-hmm. so many different types of missions, outreaches there. So what did you do on this trip?
So first off, I haven't been to Belize in like 10 years. It's been forever since I've been there because I'm always going somewhere else. And so just going back, I forgot how much I love Belize. Oh my God. I love the people there. I love the culture. I love the country out there. It's beautiful. So it was great to be back. But we actually have several different things, as you said, that we do there. The major thing we did on this trip is we actually went down to one of our homes. And when I say one of our homes, it's almost like a compound because we're constantly building new homes. And what we do is we move single mothers who have kids in there that are pregnant or whatever else. Sometimes it has to do with sexual trafficking. Sometimes it's just human trafficking. Sometimes they're just in a bad way and need help.
Yeah.
So what we do is we actually move the mom and the families. And some of the moms have like up to 7 kids. And so we build a house wow. for them. And what we do is we help them get back on their feet. And not only do we help them back on their feet, but when they actually move out because they got jobs, they have a new place to live, hold on yards, we actually give them the washer, the dryer, everything that they have actually accumulated from their time being there with us, they actually get to take with them too. So they're not starting at zero.
Wow.
They actually have a future and they actually have a good place to start from. So they have a great foundation.
That's incredible because, you know, you hear all the time about ministries, other ministries, not us, that go in and they'll do a work or they'll bring food and then they leave. And when they leave, that's it.
Yeah.
And so I love that we're not only helping them, but we're like, here, we're giving you tools to be successful.
Right.
From here on out. That's awesome. So what was it like? Like, tell me about like, even just, did you have any specific interactions with some of those families that really spoke to you?
Oh man, there's
probably a lot.
There was a lot that happened. Like I said, it was 4 trips ago, which is only 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago, but I'm still kind of unpacking everything mm-hmm. because since I travel so much, I have so many emotions that I go through constantly.
You have emotions, Ben?
I know. It's strange. Feels weird, man.
But no. Your eye holes leak too.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. You know.
But, you're like, don't get carried away.
Yeah. But no, it was amazing to meet all these families and to meet the kids and everything else because they're just so stinking happy. I mean, at all of our homes, all of our kids are happy because they're safe now and they're actually being protected and they're being loved and they're going to school and they actually have a hope for the future. So just getting to witness that, but really getting to know the moms too and watching them watch their kids grow and watching them actually have hope for a future and actually have a plan and actually be like, I know what I'm doing tomorrow, which sounds like it's not a big deal, but for them, they're so used to living day by day by day that just the thought of knowing what tomorrow brings is so comforting to them. And some of them can even see like a month or two in the future.
Wow.
Like there was one family that's like, yeah, in about a month and a half, we're going to move out. We just found a place to live and I have this job and my kids are going to this school, and just listening to them plan it out and how emotional they get when they're planning this stuff out. Because again, to us as Americans, we just kind of take it granted. Like, yeah, my kids didn't go to whatever. Like,
we know where we're sleeping tonight. We know what we're going to do, where we're going to eat or how we're going
to
eat.
Exactly. But just listening to the raw emotion that came from these mothers.
Yeah.
And from the kids too. But I mean, specifically the mothers in this case, and how happy and how overjoyed they are to know their kids are going to be able to eat. They're going to be able to sleep in a safe place and they're going to have a future. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going to be the future that they thought they were going to have. It's not going to be, well, maybe we live to the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Maybe we live to the end of the year. No, it's we're going to live for a long time and we're going to be safe while we do it. And we're going to be happy and we're going to be fed and we're going to have a huge future.
Praise God. That's redemption.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's just, like I said, it's awesome because it's also fun to tell them like, hey, I know that you think that you're moving into this apartment with nothing in it, but actually we're furnishing everything, everything that you've accumulated from as simple as like the spatulas and the cookware and the washer and dryer to the beds, to all that's already furnished, and watching the unrestricted joy that they have is one of the most mind blowing and heartbreaking things all at the same time. And not heartbreaking in a bad way, but just like, it melts your heart.
Yeah.
And it is just a beautiful, beautiful interaction,
man. And what a testimony of Jesus. Like, seriously, I don't know what better way you could demonstrate him than by literally like saving these families, giving them a hope and a future and showing them, hey, this is like, God loves you. Like he has a plan for you. And we're here doing this to point you back to him. Like that is so cool.
And the teams we actually support down there, they also set it up to where if they ever want to come back and be like, hey, look, this is actually where I was actually where I started out at. This is actually my family. Like this, they're actually family to them now.
Wow.
Because it's not just like I'm there here for a month or two. Sometimes they're there for a year or two. And it's just however long it takes for them to get back on their feet is however long it takes. And they're perfectly fine with it.
Well, so I want to go through some pictures because we have some pictures from this most recent trip. And you tell us what we're kind of looking at. So what is this here?
Okay, so this is actually the property itself. You can't really see it, but off to the right is the main house where our team lives. And over to the left, there's, I think, seven houses to the left where all the families live. Right there, there's actually going to be a recreational. There we go. I don't know why that word's so hard to say. Recreational area, which is going to have a place for all the kids to hang out. It's going to have all sorts of stuff. It's where they're going to be doing big cookouts.
Like a community center or something like that.
Basically, so all these houses are right next to each other. So all these families get really tight knit, but they didn't have a spot to where they could actually go cook together and hang out together. They just had the big open area, as you see. Mm-hmm. But now, thanks to some of the amazing people that went on this trip and you guys, obviously, too, we're actually going to start building that right now. Like it's in the process, as you can see. They're actually beginning the process right now.
Oh my goodness.
Here within a few months, that is going to be an awesome patio with all sorts of craziness out there.
Wow. That is incredible. And so we still are needing to raise funds for this, right? For this.
Correct.
I mean, obviously we have, this is just one thing that we're doing there, but we're still needing to raise funds to build this community center and do all the things there.
Correct. So on this trip, we had a group of 10 people who are just amazing. And we were actually able to actually fund the beginning of this process.
No way.
Which was about $25,000.
Okay.
However, we're only halfway there.
Okay.
So that gets the first part done. It does not get all the appliances and everything else. So we do need your guys' help, which is an additional
$25,000. Yeah.
But I mean, just as a testament to how much this moved the 10 people that were there. I mean, they came up with $25,000 on the spot.
I know. That's what I was going to say. Like what a testimony. Just
they
people that were there.
They made 3 or 4 phone calls and they're like, oh yeah, we'll fund this right now. Let's get it started.
Well, and that's just the power of seeing it.
Yeah.
And that's why we feel like it's so important to have these moments where you come on and you share what you saw. And we see the photos and the videos. And I know it's a lot of media that sometimes we throw at you guys, but we know that when you see it, when you're able to see the footage, and actually this is the physical land, okay? Like that mm-hmm. picture we saw just a moment ago of just the blank land with nothing on it.
Yeah,
we're able to see, you know what? We're going to see a picture, I believe, soon, and there's going to be mm-hmm. a recreational center there. There's going to be, you know, community parties happening and families coming together. And so we just want to encourage you right now. Give us a call if you feel like you want to sow into what the Lord is doing in Belize, in and through us and through you. You can call that number right there, 877-413-0888. Or you can mail a check to the address right there on your screen. You can also, of course, go to troybrewer.com and click give. All right, let's see some more pictures from the trip from Belize. Let's see what else. Oh, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to continue with this. You're good. So right here, this is actually a school that we support down there, and it's actually a little Catholic school.
Aww.
So we went down there, and we threw this awesome, awesome party. It was so
much fun. So fun with the balloons.
There was about 100 kids there, maybe a little bit more.
Wow.
But they came from all over the neighborhood, and the kids actually went to school there, also showed up. So we threw a huge party. We gave them a ton of food. We gave them way too much candy, as always, because, you know, you have to. It's a must.
I know.
But it was so much fun to watch them. Just, we had bounce houses. We had an inflatable Sparky. The poor kid that was in almost had a heat stroke, which was great.
I was going to say, it probably would be hot in the big inflatable Sparky.
Oh my gosh, it was so hot. But yeah, there's the inflatable Sparky.
That's awesome.
But the kids absolutely loved it. They had tons of games they got to play. It was a ton of fun.
That is so cool. And this is what we do. I mean, like, not only do we do the building, but we go and we do the spending of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, again, just in and out and so missionally focused that we're just doing work. Yep. But like, no, we are actually going and we're building relationships and we're showing people, hey, you know, not only are we here to help you, but we're here to do life with you and to partner with you. We rescue and we raise.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So cool.
Another thing we're doing there too is while we were there, we noticed that the kitchen was no bueno. It was bad.
Mm.
So we're actually going to be fixing up that kitchen too at the school so they can actually feed not only the kids in the school, but also the surrounding community.
Wow.
Now, another thing that I don't have pictures of because I wasn't allowed to take pictures of this, we actually support a special needs home down there.
Wow.
And it's not just your regular home. It's actually like almost like a camp.
Oh my goodness.
So it is a camp that has full on, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. It has full-on water slides. It has water park.
No way.
And it's all wheelchair accessible. It's there for the blind, deaf, mute, and those are handicapped. It has tons of awesome showers in there for all them. It has places for them to sleep. It is amazing. I literally wept for, I don't know, probably 30 minutes over how awesome it is. They literally made these PVC pipe wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So the kids that are stuck in wheelchairs can go through the water slides and go through all that. Like they handmade all that stuff. And it is miraculous.
And that's one of the homes that we support there.
Correct.
Wow.
So that was so much fun to go be a part of too.
I mean,
guys, if you ever get a chance to go to Belize, go. I'm telling you, there's so much amazing stuff to go and see. And so much amazing stuff to go and do. So,
yeah. And on that note, I mean, we have missions trips that happen numerous times throughout the year. And so mm-hmm. if you're interested, go to opendoorexperience.com.
Yep.
And when we have those coming up, we'll post information.
Or you can also go to sparkworldwide.org.
Sparkworldwide.org. Okay, Ben, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get to the stuff that I know everyone really wants to hear. Pastor Troy's Bible study on spirits. I told you he recorded this just for you guys. And man, is it good. Watch this.
Welcome back, guys. Doing a Bible study today on, we're actually going to be talking about spirits. On the last episode of this Bible study in Altered State, I was actually, which is a book that I'm writing, it's going to be released later on this year. We were talking about different kinds of angels. And today we're going to be talking about we also talked about the difference between physical angels and spirit angels. Okay. A spirit is what I want to hone in on today. And I think that you're going to find this eye opening because I really like this. Okay. So whenever we're talking about, spirits, poofs, and prevailing ways of living, both holy and falling, we're talking about a spirit. There are living, created spiritual beings who do not have physicality, but they operate in physical places. Remember, there are living, created spiritual beings who absolutely do have physicality, and they operate in physical and spiritual places. And that's a hard one for people to grasp. But that's one of the reasons why when it comes to the hybrid stage, when fallen, quote unquote angels who have physicality, when they become physical with human beings or plants or sea or the birds of the air or the fish of the sea, which the Bible says before Noah, all the earth was corrupted. That's what they did. They corrupted the bloodlines, the iniquitous bloodlines, and they introduced themselves. And their claim was, this is no longer God's creation. This is now my creation. Okay, here's what I say. Get your own fish, get your own birds, get your own people. You create them yourselves, which they cannot because they do not create. Jesus Christ is the creator. Okay, in the midst of all these little g gods, there is one capital G God, and he literally holds it all together. By him and in him, all things consist. Oh, man, that's tough. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Okay, so there are living, created spiritual beings who do not have physicality, but they operate in physical planes and places. And these things are called spirits in the Bible. So the Bible represents non-physical entities, categorized primarily as the Holy Spirit, angelic spirits, demonic spirits, and the human spirit. So the Bible gives us four different categories of spirits. Okay, I'm going to give it again. The Holy Spirit, which that's God Almighty. Angelic spirits, okay, that is holy entities who do not have physicality. Okay, demonic spirits, which is fallen entities created by Jesus who do not have physicality. And then we have the spirit of a man, and that is different. And I'll talk about that here in just a minute. But I want to tell you that when it comes to spirits, spirits are always looking to inhabit a person, a place, or a thing. It apparently is somewhat painful for them not to inhabit something. So they are always after a noun, a person, a place, or a thing. So they ultimately want human beings, and they want to cause human beings to serve their masters. The late Dr. Michael Heiser says that demons or spirits upon the earth, which fall into the category of what Jesus talked about, a wandering spirit, that they are actually the spirits of the Nephilim, of the hybrids that came from the fallen angels that reproduced with human beings. They obviously would not have the Spirit of God within them. So I want to say that's pretty speculative, but he's a lot smarter than I am. And it's interesting to me because I really don't know where these spirits come from unless they were already in the spirit category and then they became unholy and they became fallen and they have nothing to inhabit. But I just don't know. I don't know, but that's very interesting. So spirits are indeed spiritual and they are not physical. And when Jesus talks about a spirit, he is talking about, in a lot of cases, he's not talking about a demon. He's talking about the environment that a demon produces. So track with me on this here for a minute. So, and if he's talking about the person of a spirit, he calls him the strong man, and he says the strong man must be bound. He's a strong man. I've seen some of these spirits, and they have tremendous arms. And they tend to be the strong man, right? And I've seen them in dreams and visions and also to just in doing my work in the field. I've seen these things show up. But they always show up with tentacles or with arms or with big giant arms or something like that because what they seek to do is to bind and to capture a person, a place, or a thing and then to inhabit it. So they start off by visitation and then they end up in habitation. They copied that from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, will show up and bring visitation to us. And then if we conform our lives and we become compatible with him, then he moves into habitation, right? So that's a really big deal. All right. Well, Dr. Jerry Robinson, in his book, Strong Man's His Name, Now What's His Game? That's the name of the book. He lists 16 different kinds of spirits that the Bible gives. The spirit of divination is one. That's in Acts chapter 16. That will include fortune telling, soothsaying, warlock, Satanist, witch, Wiccan, Druid, pagan, stargazing, zodiac, horoscopes, rebellion, hypnotists, enchanters, drugs as pharmakeos, water witching, divination, magic, the spirit of divination. Okay, there is the spirit or the entity that does not have physicality that brings this. But the environment that entity operates in is also the spirit of divination. So you can be involved in something that has the spirit of divination within it, meaning it's territory. You with me on that? So it's like, oh, you know what? I don't think it'll hurt, man, for me to look at my horoscope. Oh, okay. You've entered onto the turf of the spirit of divination. And when you enter onto that turf, you come into an agreement, and which means you're coming into covenant, you're coming into agreement, and it means that you are now subject to the entity of the spirit. Are you guys tracking with me? So when I'm talking about a spirit of something, like a familiar spirit, okay, a familiar spirit is an entity that does not have physicality, that is attached to your family, attached to your bloodline. And it's a big deal. But the environment and the fruit that it produces is also the environment of the fruit that it actually produces is also the spirit of a familiar spirit. Like, so it's like, okay, well, you might have a propensity within your DNA to be an alcoholic. You might have the propensity to be within your DNA to be somebody who is full of lust, and you're a very passionate person. I as a human being have both of those things, and I am aware of those things. And so I have to operate in a different spirit than within the familiar spirit. That doesn't mean everybody in my family was bad. It just means that we all need to be redeemed. And so I know that. So I'm like, okay, well, then I'm going to operate in a different spirit. In a familiar spirit, it will manifest as a medium, as peeping and murdering and muttering. It comes around. So familiar spirits are connected to bloodlines and iniquity. So it's DNA. So it tends to show up physically through sexual things and through powerful things. So that goes into necromancy, that goes into being a clairvoyant, that goes into drugs, that goes into sexual things. The whole yoga thing. Man, I know so many godly people that practice yoga, and they do that because it's cool and because it's physical. And I totally get it. I really do. I also know what it is, and I do not want to come into agreement with that at all. Number one, I can't physically do yoga. I'm a fat old man. So there is that. How convenient, as the church lady said. But I would also say this too. When you contort your body, your physical body, into those positions, it's coming into agreement and alignment with a deity that created those things, and which makes you subject to the deity. And you don't want to do that. And you start thinking all kinds of sexual things that you shouldn't be thinking. You start activating in the spirit of it. So there can be a familiar spirit within your family that things just happen in your family. Okay, well, that spirit comes from an entity, and you can tell what a tree is by the fruit that it bears. All right, so you with me? Here's another one. A spirit of jealousy shows up like murder, rage, spite, anger, jealousy, hatred, cruelty, strife, contention. You find this in Genesis 4, Proverbs 6, Proverbs 10, Numbers chapter 5, a spirit of jealousy. So there is an entity, a spirit that works as far as jealousy, that always says, you don't need your king. Somebody else has got a cooler king than you do. You don't need your allotted place. You need to look over because the grass is always greener. And that's a bad one. A lion spirit. A lion spirit shows up as strong deceptions, flattery, superstitions, religious bondage, false prophecy, accusations, slander, gossip, lies, false teachers. It's all the way through the Word of God, lying spirits are. Okay, it's the power of worm tongue, right? So what is that? Okay, a lying spirit is the entity that keeps you from seeing the truth. And I want to just tell you this, that it's going to be a hard one, but look it up yourself. There is such thing as a holy lying spirit. Like, God would never lie. No, God would never lie because he's the truth. But he actually sends an angel. He actually sends it. Look it up yourself. He sends an angel to be a lion spirit in the heart of the king. In other words, God ain't going to lie. But what God will do is he has the right to conceal the truth from you. And he has the right to do that because truth is for seekers. Truth is for people who want to know him. It goes in the same exact category. See, again, that don't fit within Western Christianity, but it certainly is the Bible. And an angel of the Lord tells God Almighty, tells Yahweh, I shall be a lying spirit, and I shall give them bad counsel, and I shall do this, and I shall do that. God says, go and do that. Conceal the truth from them. You know, Jesus, whenever he spoke parables, he said, I'll tell you why I speak in parables, because they seeing see not, they hearing hear not. I don't want them to get it. How about them apples? A perverse spirit shows up as a broken spirit, is evil actions, abortion, child abuse, a filthy mind, doctrinal error, sexual perversion, twisting the word, foolish, chronic worrier, contentions, incest, pornography. Yep. Spirit of haughtiness, spirit of heaviness. That's another one. Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, a spirit of whoredoms, spirit of infirmity, deaf and dumb spirit. Jesus called that one out. Spirit of bondage, spirit of fear, seducing spirits. That's fascination with things that are not the kingdom. Deception, wandering from the truth. Fascination with evil ways, objects or persons. Seducing, enticing, spirit of the Antichrist, spirit of error, spirit of poverty. Spirit of poverty, that's a big one. So yeah, Psalms 18, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Spirit of death. Okay, all right, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about an entity that does not have physicality, that's true. But we're also talking about the mode of operations that they operate in. So you can be involved in something that has a bad spirit in it. Okay, so it's proof that that spirit is hiding, that the entity is there. But when you try and squeeze the biblical universe in the two neat boxes of just angels and demons, you get deceived and you come up against things that you'll get confused on because you're not operating in the right spirit. By the right ground rules. Yeah. You know, Jesus told the disciples who was operating biblically and they were operating in loyalty to Jesus. Jesus rebuked them in Luke chapter 9, verse 55 and said, I rebuke you because you don't know what spirit you're operating of. What? I'm operating out of the Bible. I got a biblical precedent for this. I'm operating out of complete loyalty to you, King Jesus. Yeah, you can't walk with me if you're going to operate in that spirit. Okay, you're telling me that I can walk biblically without walking in the right spirit? Absolutely, 10,000%. You can get up and prophesy biblically and shame people. You can get up and prophesy biblically and have power and lord over people. You can see signs, miracles, and wonders and still be manipulative. Operate in a wrong spirit and see what that'll get you. It'll get you bad fruit. And eventually, it'll get you in bad trouble. Is what it's going to do. So I describe the created being of a spirit as what we think of as a poof. All right. They have no physicality, but they create frameworks in physical places. And that spirit is not just the entity. The spirit is the framework that it actually operates in. Are you with me on that? So if I'm going to operate with the Holy Spirit, the framework that the Holy Spirit always creates shows up in Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's Isaiah 11, 2. So those are the frameworks that the Holy Spirit will set up to be made manifest in. The frameworks that these other spirits set up are frameworks where they can be manifest in. And what that tells me is, if you operate in any of those things, and they have jurisdiction within those things, you're going to get your hat handed to you, and you better know the difference between your butt and a hole in the ground. You better not be somebody that is just like, oh, I got a big Baptist theological degree, and I'm Dr. Troy Allen Brewer, and I'm so daggum smart. Your smart is going to go right out the window if you don't operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in every single one of these places. And these, my friends, are Calvinists. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And they will not make it in these days to come. They will not. But that's not you, and that's not me. And when it comes to the sons of God category, as I've already mentioned in the first video where I was talking about altered state, they're not like wandering or unclean spirits that are looking to set up a framework. So understand, wandering spirits and unclean spirits are looking for someone to cooperate with them and set up a framework where they can reproduce. Okay, so the spirit of this age, the spirit of the Antichrist, all that kind of stuff. Are you with me on that? Okay. The sons of God category are not like that. They're looking for entire nations and generations to serve them. They're looking for true physical places and true physical spaces that they can occupy in. And so that they can tell God, you do not have a right to operate here. We're going by your rules. And they're all a bunch of sniveling lawyers is what they end up being. They make me sick, actually. Okay, in the account, so I already mentioned also in the first one, like they actually have modes of transportation. They're so physical. Why would an angel need a chariot unless he is physical? Why? What is that all about? Okay. But that's something else. So they're also so physical, and they act so much like, and they're so compatible with us. Some of these ones that have physicality, that as Hebrews 13:2 says, that we entertain strangers and have unwittingly entertained angels. Like, we can't tell the difference between human beings and these celestial beings. We cannot tell the difference. Like, well, I think I would know. I don't, because the Bible says we have unwittingly entertained angels. That is crazy cool to me. All right, so even again, whenever Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he had total power over the wall. He could walk through the Bible says that the door was shut, and he walked through. But yet he said, dude, look, I got flesh. I'm a physical being. I'm not a poof. I just have control over those things. Okay, that's a big deal. That's Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Okay, well, in Genesis chapter 6, sons of God got with the daughters of men. We're talking about two different categories. We're talking about heavenly beings and earthly beings. We're talking about males and females. We're talking about the first class of human trafficking that ever took place. And then we're talking about they created these physical beings. All right. Now we're getting into a whole different category of the demonic realm. And what I would offer is it may be that the demonic realm has many more species than the holy realm has. Like, why? Because of their incursions and because of their hybrids that are abominations. There's such great order in the creation that God creates. In the chaos that the demonic realm creates, there are things that are half and half and messed up and wicked and gross, and they do terrible things and they live in terrible places. It's not like that within the holy realm. So they manifest in different kinds of ways. Okay. These incursions have taken place throughout the heavenly realms multiple times. Okay. The idea that there's one devil that fell out one time is a complete construct in the spirit of Western Christianity. But it is not biblical at all. And even though we're like, no, man, there's just one falling out. No, there's not. You know, there's Genesis 10 falling out. There's Genesis 6 falling out. There's Genesis 3 falling out. And by the way, there was already a falling out before that. And are you saying that the serpent was in the protected place of the garden, which is guarded by cherubim themselves? I don't think he had fallen before that. I don't think the serpent had fallen before then. I think that he actually fell. They can actually time their falling out, and they do it in chapters because they got a big plan. And so, yeah, it's a trip to me. So when it comes to these physical beings, whenever they produce something, and you need to understand, they produce things within the animal kingdom, within the human kingdom, within the plant kingdom, within the fish kingdom, within the bird kingdom. The Bible describes all of those different things. Okay, when they reproduce, they also create something that the Bible calls beasts. B-E-A-S-T-S. And beasts are hybrids that are unholy, and they're god-awful horrible. Now, in the book of Revelation, it says that, let me back up just a little bit. When Jesus went out into the wilderness, he was out there with the beasts. Okay? When the devil tempted him, he was with the beast. That ain't a bunch of coyotes and armadillos. That's demonic hybrids that showed up in physical form. Okay? And by the way, angels showed up in physical form to him and ministered to him. Hallelujah. So he was a physical human being in a very physical place, even though he was completely God Almighty. Okay? But now he's having to operate in the realm of physical things and according to the legalities of that. So these beasts, the Bible says, showed up. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the beasts will overtake the world in such a degree that they will devour a big percentage of the planet Earth. That's not dogs and cats attacking people. That's these hybrid creatures in the days of Noah. That's what that is. Okay, when people leave their allegiance to God Almighty, and when they proclaim their allegiance, which cannot be forced upon anybody, that's why everybody has to make a choice, because there's a ritual that you have to go through that is a hybrid of human, spiritual, and technology. And it's called the mark of the what? Of the beast. And when you accept this, I believe it changes your DNA to such a degree that you can no longer be saved, because you're no longer a son of Adam. God Almighty offers redemption to the sons of Adam. He promised it to Eve, Genesis 3, right on? Promised it to Eve. And through a holy bloodline that will go 77 generations all the way to King Jesus. Jesus did it. He killed it. Oh, he's so awesome. But these beasts, when you take on the mark of the beast, you become unredeemable. And I think that it is a DNA change, which means a different spirit and a complete DNA change. And you're no longer savable. So that's why it's called the mark of the beast. So the biblical concept, in some passages, beasts are not animals, they are hybrids. And that's a manifestation of corrupted spiritual and physical forces. And they can show up plant-wise. They can show up fish-wise. They can show up human-wise. They can show up in anything. Because, yeah. By the way, a fourth of the earth will be killed by beasts during the time of the tribulation. And then what about these things that come up out of the ground that look like locusts and have tails like scorpions? And they are given to torment everyone who is given the mark of the beast. Why do they come up out of the ground? What's that all about? Again, the Bible's view and the kingdom view is very different from the traditional Western Christian view. I thank God for what I learned through Western Christianity. I found Jesus in it. I found the love of God. I learned Bible. I learned scripture. I learned church. I learned being committed. I learned the power of the Holy Spirit. And now I want to just tell you this. That construct of Western Christianity is indeed a man-made construct. And so don't be alarmed if the Spirit of God is moving in a completely different place than what has been accepted within the construct of Western Christianity. All right, I think I'll let you go. That's some good stuff to think about. Good stuff. I'm looking through here all my notes. Yeah. You got this. Don't be afraid of the day that you live in. Don't be afraid of the day. Don't be afraid of this day. I love this day. You were reborn for such a day as this. You were born again for such a day as this. Hey, thanks so much for loving me. Thanks for watching this. Thanks for chiming in. Thanks for praying for me. Thanks for supporting me, all my precious partners. I love you guys so much. Thank you. God bless you so much, friends. Bye-bye.
Boom. Do not be afraid of the day that you live in. Gosh, I told you guys that was so good. And please take this opportunity, share this episode today, because I know someone in your life, someone in your circle needs to hear what we talked about today, not just the updates here in the house, but what Pastor Troy, the word that he just gave that was so, so good, so relevant to today, so relevant to today's headlines and all the things going on. And of course, as a reminder, don't miss this upcoming Sunday right here at Open Door Church. Pastor Troy and Leanna are back in the house along with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. He's going to be here. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be such a good Sunday. Don't miss it. And of course, don't miss tomorrow's episode of The Pulse, because we're going to have Ben Brewer back here in studio, you guys, by popular demand. He's going to be back. Don't miss it. Until tomorrow, I call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye, guys.